Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, says this. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, listen, church, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So how are you doing it that today? How are you doing that in life? This putting off, this putting to death and death for good of the old self, and this putting on of the new self each and every day. How are you doing it that? That's what we want to discuss and think about today. And that is what we want to walk out of here today, committing to some changes in the power of the Spirit regarding. Because that is what our reading presents us with today. Now, if you haven't been here, or if you've been here, but you've been living under a rock, in other words, not engaged in regards to what we've been doing, let me just catch you up to speed. We have been going through the book of Ephesians together week by week, talking about it, this book of encouragement, remember? And we've been talking about how it's time to what? It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up in our faith, which includes what we believe, but also what we do and what we don't do, based upon what we believe and how we act. And how we don't act, based again upon what we believe. It's time to grow up in that. Which may sound harsh, but in Ephesians chapter 4, in this verse that we just covered, prior to it last week, we saw a verse right before where we were today where Paul said this, okay? Urging the Ephesians, the believers in Ephesus, and thus urging us, as this was and this is a circulating letter, he urged them and he urges us to stop being babies. That's what we saw last week. To stop being babies who naively believe any and everything that we hear. So God, through Paul, he is offering us a more grown-up way. A more grown-up way to live and to be. And thus, in verse 15, Paul writes this. Instead, speaking the truth in love, which is what we've been trying to do this whole series, church, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. So again, he is offering a different, a more mature way to be, which he begins to flesh out a little bit more in verses 17 to 19 of what we read earlier of this chapter, where Paul urges us to not live like everybody else in terms of being what we read, hard-hearted, in terms of being what we read, dark-minded. He says, don't live that way anymore. And then picking up in verse 20, and thus going into our main message for today, Paul says this, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to what, church? To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So the process of transformation or of growing up in Christ is described by Paul in what we just read. And it includes the following three actions: to put off the old self, which belongs back there to the former way of our life? Have you put the things back there that need to be put back there? My encouragement to us today is to do it today, because we're going to explore some of the harmful ways of life that are to be back there, to be in our past. We'll give you a chance to do that today. The second part of this process that Paul, through the inspiration of God, makes here is this: to be made new in the attitude of one's mind. And then three, to put on what? The new self. That's the process of transformation, or the process of growing up, big picture, that we see here in Ephesians chapter 4. And what's interesting to note is that the words translated put off and put on, they are past tense in the Greek, indicating an action that what? That has been completed, which is referring really to our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And also it is really a referral to our baptism in Christ, in his name. But with that, the words that we read here, to be made new, part two of the process, they are in the present tense, church, indicating something very important, indicating this idea, this truth of a continual growth process that we, you and I who are believers in Christ, are to be involved in. That you and I who are believers in Christ are to be pursuing each and every day. Something that we would call in fancy words our sanctification, or our change for God's glory. So in this process, the former self, which was given to the gratification of human desires, well, it is put away. It is stripped off, in other words, like filthy clothes. Gone, done, in the past. Thanks be to God in Christ. And our baptism, well, it represents the stripping off of the whole body of flesh, if you will, where our entire former self goes under that water, right? And it signifies the dying of self, the dying to self, and coming up out of those waters, what? Anew, a putting on of the new self. So those two, to put off and to put on, they are past tense. They are past tense parts of this process or transformation that we see that Paul is teaching us here. But then Paul also points out, focusing on part two of this process, that becoming a new person in Christ, it begins and it continues. It begins and it continues. Present tense, remember. And it begins and it continues with what? The transformation of the mind. That is where, per his writing, we are to be being made new. Present tense. Think of it this way. The decision to become a Christian can be and is instantaneously made. And the act of being baptized is just that, the act, a one-time thing. However, the actual transformation from our old self into our new self, and one that exemplifies the holiness and the righteousness of God, that to which we are called, well, that requires a lifetime, my friend. That's a journey. Think of it this way. Liken it to this. Marriage or parenting. There was a definitive moment, right, where you went from single to married. Or there was a definitive moment that you went from non-parent to parent. Wah, wah. You remember that? Right? But it took you time, didn't it? And it took you intentionality, didn't it, to put off some of your old ways of living that were conducive to singleness, but not marriedness, if that's even a word. Or to put off some of your old ways of living that were conducive to not having kids, but weren't once you had them. It took you time, didn't it, to rewire what? To rewire your brain. Your brain, which then kicks your actions, these new ways of living appropriate for marriage and parenting. So marriage and being a parent, They are both instantaneous, right? One-time actions. I said I do. I put the ring on. I heard the baby cry, and I was a parent. But a process or a putting off and a putting on is something that we're engaged in, those changes. And so having all said that, that leads us to the second phase of this area of Scripture, which is where we really want to focus today. And that phrase is this: to be made new in the attitude of your mind. To be made new in the attitude of your mind. Now, this is not referring to the mental powers of memory or judgment or perception, but more so the spirit of your mind, the very essence of it, if you will. You see, we can direct our mind's energy toward God and toward his ways by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do that. Think, if you will, of a fork in the road. A fork in the road of your mind. The path your old self always took, I know from experience, it's easier to take because it's already been traveled so many times. But now, you and I in Christ have the Holy Spirit to create a new way, to create a better way, to create a more appropriate way, to create a more godly way. I mean, you may sit here today used to going down this old mental path of maybe something like deceit or worry or lust or greed or judgment or criticism, but you're sensing it's time. It's time to be made new. Well, I am telling you, God's word is telling you, it starts in your mind by you beginning to choose the paths that go toward God and his ways. Paths that are hard, but paths that are worth it. Paths like the path of honesty. Paths of peace and unity and purity and generosity. Paths like the path of grace and forgiveness and encouragement and righteousness and holiness. And a seeking to understand versus callously judge. Now, this is dangerous, okay? This is dangerous, but can we, just for a second, can we talk about the young lady who recently started the fires in our community? Can we do that for a second? Now, I will be the first to tell you that she certainly did some things that didn't help herself. And she certainly used her free will, okay, her gift from God in that, to pursue wrong things. But I know and I am sure there is way more to the story, church. Yet some callously judge her. Versus what? Versus seeking to understand the hurt she, a creation of God, must have received somewhere in her life. To come to this point in her life, she must have received pain somewhere in her life. Listen, church, hurt people hurt people. And grown-up Christians help. We help. And we look for ways to connect hurt people to healing. We look for ways to connect hurt people to the healer, capital H. That's how we roll. And I got to tell you, I am so proud of this church, this campus, for trying with her. And let me just tell you, you know what I know? And you should know, her story isn't over yet. And here's what else I always know. Our God always has one more move. He always has one more move. So you know what? I prayerfully with anticipation, rooted in hope, will be looking for his next move in her life. And I hope you would join me in that. Again, don't hear what I'm not saying. What she did was terrible. But if you have followed this story at all, you know that she just didn't get the help, some of the help that she needed. And our system not only failed our community, but it failed her too. So let's pray. Let's pray for and let's be a part of solutions. But going back to this point that we can be made new, that we can be made new in true righteousness and holiness, the Holy Spirit that can help you to create new and better and more appropriate and godly paths, which begins in your mind, well, to allow that church, we need to dedicate our mind. We need to dedicate it to the Lord. That is what love the Lord your God with all your mind means. We need to confess to the Lord. We need to repent of those old, toxic ways of thinking. And we need to let him guide us. We need to let him be our guide onto a new path, which takes our investment of time, and it takes intentionality, and it takes risk. If you like risk, let's start walking with God. Let's start doing it seriously. So no more excessive worry, no more deceit, no more lust, no more judgment, no more greed, no more criticism. Lay it down today. Lay it down and pick up things instead like honesty and peace and purity and generosity. And again, a seeking to understand. And we're going to give you a real chance to do that later on in the service. But first, Paul, he also gives us some practical examples of true righteousness and holiness that I want to look at together. Listen to how he continues in verse 25 through 27. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. What we see here is this. Be truthful. Be truthful. Now, there are lots of ways that we sin when we're angry. We'll get to some in a bit. But there is a sin referred to in what we just read that comes from anger that I think is more prevalent in our Christian community, in the church, in other words, and that is this, that we ignore it. We ignore this thing called anger. We bottle it up. We lie about it. I mean, God forbid, right? God forbid we acknowledge our anger. I mean, anger, it feels so inherently sinful, doesn't it? But it's not. God gave us a wide range of emotions. And we even see these emotions distributed and exhibited by God, expressed in himself in Scripture. But Paul is referring that maybe a way we sin in our anger, maybe a way we do that is by not admitting it. By not admitting it and talking to the person with whom we are angry. I mean, we read, put off falsehood and do what? Speak truthfully to our neighbor. And I don't know about you, okay? I could only speak for me. I don't know about you, but I've been angry with some neighbors, even Christian neighbors, and didn't speak to them. I didn't do that. I didn't speak truthfully about it. But all that happens when we bottle it up, we read it. What does it do? It gives the devil an opportunity. It gives him a foothold, an entry point into our life and into our relationships. And Paul here, he is quoting from Psalm 4:4, which says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. So not letting the sun go down on our anger, do you know what that includes? It includes the difficult inner work of acknowledging our anger in the first place. It includes that first. And to ourselves first, admitting that and sorting through it. And if we don't, first and foremost, we're lying to ourselves. And then we continue it by lying to others. Because if we don't admit it and process it, then we are never dealing with them regarding it. We're never doing that in a healthy way. So if you're angry, you have to admit it. You have to admit it to yourself first. And then if it's still there, you have to admit it to the person with which you are angry. Because when you or I, when we lie about our anger, when we insist that everything is fine when it's not, we are hurting them as much as we are hurting ourselves in that. And you can begin to speak the truth in love to yourself by asking a question I want to share with you. A question such as this. Is my anger from being hurt, from being scared, or is it from having a boundary crossed? And from there, church, you and I, we can begin healing. yourself, and maybe some relationships. Now, if that weren't enough, Paul also says this about being truthful. Let's read verse 28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Now, this is just a good checkpoint for growth right there. Now, I'm sure that you are all making your living or you're doing your schooling honestly, right? But there's always the temptations, aren't there? To do shortcuts or maybe to cheat a little on our taxes or to come across something that's not ours and to help ourselves to it. Or maybe we aren't contributing. Maybe we aren't working, though we could. So don't let that verse slip by you today. Be doing something useful. Be doing something honest with your hands and avoid shortcuts, avoid temptations, and earn something to share something. That's what Paul says. That's what God says to us through Paul. But on to the next verse. Paul here addresses our words, and he encourages us to be wholesome. Let's read it in verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, unwholesome talk, or the word unwholesome, that can be translated into rotten or putrid. And we all, or at least I'm assuming so, we all brush our teeth, right? And we gargle maybe with mouthwash, we chew gum so that we don't have rotten breath, right? I hope that's what we do. If not, talk to me from there. But think about this. If only, church, if only we gave, if only we gave as much thought to our rotten words, if only, right? And I have to admit, this one's been a struggle for me in the past. I've come a ways in it, but for me, I have this knack. Maybe some of you have noticed it. I have this knack for like quick jokes, sarcastic jokes, comments that just sometimes they burst out of my mouth before I had a chance to brush them clean. Anybody else with me on that? I'm just somebody who needs to be what? I need to be intentional. I need to be intentional in working on measuring my words carefully and being more sensitive to that which enriches the environment around me as opposed to what corrupts it or tears it down. I need to be intentional about that. And maybe you do too. And listen to this. You want to hear this? Oh, boy. You ready? Are you still here? Oh, my goodness. Wait, what's next? It's not only others who are affected by our words, but Holy Spirit is too. Listen to verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. So we must, church, we must be sensitive to the Spirit. When we don't speak truthfully or wholesomely, we hurt the very Spirit of God. You could accurately say we offend him. You could accurately say we make him sad. And that is because what I've said earlier, he is a part of us as Christians. For as believers, we are sealed. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, stamped, marked with him. In other words, he is closer to us than we are to ourselves. That's crazy, but it's true. And so our thoughts and our actions and our words, they affect him. And we might think that our thoughts are only known by us, or that they only affect us, or that the words we mutter under our breath only affect us. But Paul says otherwise through the inspiration of God. You see, there is this interconnectedness, which means we affect the Spirit of God. An interconnectedness. Did you hear me? That we affect the Spirit of God. Wow. Holy Spirit, again, he is so close to us that we impact his emotions. And I pray you'll let that sink in this morning. Paul then, so helpfully, he goes on to name six things that we need to put off or discard that grieve Holy Spirit. The word says this in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Now let's pause there. What's the difference here? Well, bitterness is a spirit which refuses to reconcile. That's what bitterness is. Well, rage, most of us know what rage is. It's an outburst of negative emotion. And anger really is this word that kind of covers it all, right? Or it's a constant state of being, like he's just an angry person, right? And then the verse continues with this. Get rid of all brawling. Now, this is the person that likes to make a scene when they're angry, likes to make everyone aware of his or her grievance. God says, get rid of all brawling. He also says, get rid of all slander. What's slander? That's speaking evil against someone, isn't it? Along with every form of malice, which is really the desire to injure or to have ill will towards. So God, through Paul, he makes a pretty exhaustive list here, right? A pretty exhaustive list of things that happen if you don't address what? Your anger. If you don't address it kind of quickly. The point is, I mentioned it before, but when we bottle our anger, when we don't deal with it, when we don't get rid of it, as we discussed earlier, it doesn't go away. Do you know what it does? It grows. It grows when we don't deal with it. Now, that might look differently for each one of us based on our personalities. For you, it might stew into bitterness. Well, for another, it might explode in rage. Others, it maybe will seethe, you know, like kind of like right below the surface. But then it comes out maybe in passive-aggressive ways, or it could be in the form of gossip, every chance that you get, or even the wish for negative things to come someone's way. And then, I'm not sure if you noticed it, I think you did, but just in case, Paul summed it up with this idea of malice, right? All forms of malice. And take note, he doesn't write all forms of anger, but instead he uses this word malice. In other words, anything that comes from not dealing with one's anger in a healthy and a godly way, in a grown-up way. Now, hints for you of malice and for me towards someone might include things like reoccurring negative feelings when you see that person, when you interact with them. Another hint might be the tightening of your shoulders or maybe an upset stomach or the clenching of your teeth. I've had that happen a couple times. Or it could even be just this increased pulse that you get. Or it could be, maybe for you, it's the inability to stop thinking or talking about the person or the group or the event. Or malice could be avoiding the person and in a passive-aggressive way treating them in that way with sarcasm or maybe the silent treatment. Bottom line is this, church. Letting our anger get to the point of any of those things means we need to put away the old self. We need to put it away. We need to put it away, but we don't just leave it there. We get renewal. We receive some renewal of the mind from Holy Spirit. And we receive from him a new thing, a new way of addressing and dealing with it. For we must be sensitive to Holy Spirit, because it's the only way we can follow Paul's next direction to us, which is this: be sensitive to each other. Let's read verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I'm going to read that again. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Church, for it is when we allow God first to remove the falsehood, the unwholesomeness from in our own heart, that we can then have this thing called genuine kindness and compassion and forgiveness towards others as he, Holy Spirit, fills us. For we are able to put off these negative things through Christ's forgiveness of us. His forgiveness of us has so much power in realizing that you've been forgiven. And from there, we are able to put on all the positive things that he has for us. And we're able to do that for the same reason that he did with us, for relationship, for reconciliation, for unity. Experiencing Christ's forgiveness means that we have the power. Experiencing Christ's forgiveness means that we have the power, and it is a power. We have the power to forgive others and to treat them differently than we would if we had remained in our old nature, in our old former ways of doing things. And it's a process. It's a process, okay? It's a process, but I'm telling you, every time we do it, it gets a little easier. And every time we do it and through it, we deepen the new us. We grow richer in Christ. We grow deeper, we deepen the new us, and we weaken the old us. That's what happens through it. We become more like Christ. Righteousness and holiness. Now, we want to give you a powerful opportunity today, in this moment, to acknowledge any falsehood or any unhealthy ways of dealing with anger that you have, or even any unwholesomeness that resides in you. We want to give you the opportunity to acknowledge that today and to ask God for forgiveness, which He will give. We want to give you that opportunity. And we want to give you the opportunity to maybe pray with someone else if you want. Asking God that as you put off the old way and renew your mind, that He will bring the new. A new attitude, a new heart, a new you. Regarding anything like we've talked about, dishonesty or malice or greed or lust. A spirit of all too consuming worry or judgment of others. So at this time, I want to ask the worship team to come forward and Bob and Sharon to come forward, who will be here to pray with and for you if you want, and who can also connect you towards some healing that we have as a church. Sharon's coming up, and she's a trained Hope and Healing minister. Bob's very involved in Streams of Freedom, a ministry of our church that helps to deal with deep hurts and to create some inner healing through the power of the Spirit. So they are here to pray with you and or talk with you about some avenues that you could take for healing if you want. Or you don't have to come to one of those two. Just come to the altar if you want today. If you feel called or stay in your seat and just pray about these things that we've talked about. But I will tell you, there's something powerful about the physical sign of coming forward. And you can do this during our next song, okay? Which will be our last song. And we're basically having what I like to call a soft end to church today. So here are a couple announcements, and then you're free to go, okay? You can go during the song, after the song. If it's after the song and people are still up here praying, I want to ask that you just do so somewhat quietly today. All right? Everybody understand? You can come forward, pray in your seat, worship, do whatever you want. I got a couple quick announcements. If you're new, we've got these I'm New cards in the back. Fill it out, drop it in the giving box. Also, for anybody that's been new here like the last 5 or 6 months, we're doing a lunch today at the Trading Post at 12 noon. You are invited to that. It's 38 Franklin Street. And then lastly, before we move into this moment of prayer, we do have a mission trip to Zambia, Africa in July. Love Choma. And the deadline to sign up for that is February 14th. You can check out that on the website. You can sign up there. And just a quick heads up, next week, you might want to bring a little bit of cash with you because we're going to have some of the members of our March Zambia Africa mission trip team here selling their bracelets. So you could support them in that. But with that, let's worship through song. Let's come, let's pray. Come by yourself, come see Bob or Sharon. And as a congregation, I just want to encourage us. We're a family, man. So if you see some people up here, don't start wondering what's going on with them. Pray for them. Let's pray for each other. That's what family does. With that, like I said, soft ending. So have a great week. God bless.